Good morning. Welcome to worship. I'm Mike leading the first part. We have communion, sharing all together, so we'll all stay together till after communion, and there's communion available in the overflow as well. There will be tea and coffee. He knows why it's relevant. The kitchen was fairly flooded about an hour ago. So we said no tea and coffee. But we've changed our mind. But be patient with John and Emily, because they're sort of on like skateboards. No, they're not. They're needing to be a little bit careful, and they'll probably have to prepare a bit more towards the end of the service. So there will be tea and coffee, but be your usual polite and helpful selves as we share tea and coffee later. I'm going to start by reading the passage that Martin will be talking about later, and it's John chapter 1. In the Bibles in the pews, it's pews, chairs, it's page 1064. That's not a significant date, is it? No, 66. 1064, and it's John chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 43, and I think it's going to come on the screen. It is. I can read better from here than up there, so if there's the odd word difference. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael said. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And today we're worshipping the Son of God. He recognizes us and we worship him. So to do things in a slightly different order, we're going to have the notices. The small group boards are still here. Sign up is well and truly underway, but Chris and Bob thought great idea to leave them here to give you another chance to look at the small groups. If you haven't signed up yet and you know which one you're going to, you are allowed to do it now if you want. Other things to mention, it's men's breakfast next weekend. See Gareth, book via church suite. And I've closed my phone and I've forgotten. Ali, would you like to go next, please?
Good morning, all. I'm here with my Quench Bookshop hat on. Tomorrow, this new Bible is officially being launched. Now, if you signed up to the LICC, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, emails after our last visit from LICC, you may well have been being inundated with information about this in your inbox. It is incredible. I've seen this Bible through the stages of it developing. And so I've got a copy that you can actually physically have a look at and see if you like it. If you would like to order one, I'm happy to take orders today at the special price of £25 instead of £28.99. And I've got my card reader with me, so I can even take your money. I'm just going to read a bit from the back. So it's done in partnership with the Bible Society, who are the guys behind the research on the Quiet Revival, and LICC, who most of us are very familiar with. And it says on the back, God cares about every single thing you do, from making spreadsheets, where's Adele, to playing football. And there's a few of those out here. From catching up over tea to delivering parcels. And he cares deeply about the person you are. You can join in his mission in every detail of daily life because he's at work in every part of his creation. This Bible will help you understand Scripture's real-world context, relate to experiences and emotions in the passage, and respond to what you read with practical action. Discover the Bible's implications for your everyday life. Blah, 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 blah. I won't read the rest. There's space for note-taking, journaling, whatever as well, or drawing if that's your thing. So I'm going to leave it on the small boot group table, I think. Go and have a look and come and grab me afterwards if you'd like to order one. Thank you.
Thank you. A message from Rachel about Food Bank and Food Boost. This Friday, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. She can't be here now. She should be here in time for tea and coffee. Good job we're having it, isn't it? But it's Friday, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock with the Food Boost. And if you in any way think you might be able to help with that, please get in touch with Rachel. Venice is also here. If Rachel doesn't manage to get back, talk to Venice. One or two things about the funeral on Wednesday for Jan. It's North Harts Crem, not Bedford, and anyone is welcome to Crem and back here from 12 o'clock-ish, depending on times. So if you're able to, wanting to be part of that on Wednesday, that's 11 o'clock at North Harts Crem. Don't make the mistake that I made to the last funeral. I went at North Harts Crem and ended up at the Pet Crematorium, which was about a mile away. The pets were very confused. And Linda is collating any thoughts that you want to share about Jan to be shared as part of the celebration service on Wednesday, so please talk to Linda afterwards. So the scripture we read really focuses on Jesus, the Son of God. And that's where our focus wants to be right through our time of sharing communion, of learning, of teaching. So let's stand and sing, You were the Word at the beginning, and then rolling into recognizing what a great and faithful God he is.
You are the Word of the beginning, from with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now reveals it. You are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful thank you.
Father God, we worship you this morning as we stand together in your presence. Son of God, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are and all that you have done. And Holy Spirit, we pray that your presence will be so on us today that we will know you, worship you, and praise you. Amen. Amen. Please do sit down. As I said, we're all going to stay together, either in here in church or out in the overflow as we lead into communion. But rather than just the sort of quick prayer and Lenten communion, one or two thoughts. It's mostly about remembering. So in my bag, I've got a banana, an orange, an apple, a great big bag of Aero, and a sachet of cat food. What was the third item? What did I say with the third thing? Put your hand up. Apple, right. What did I say first? You're such a disobedient. And what did I say about the Aero? All together! Okay, so this might be in a different order because I haven't written it down. So we've got a banana. We've got an orange. Orange. We've got a sachet of cat food. Not any old cat food, Iams cat food. An apple. And a big bag of Aero. A bag? A big packet of Aero. You were going to get it, you're not now. So, somebody who is younger than 11... who can't see, what did I say first? Pop your hand up. A banana, absolutely right. What did I say last? Was that last? Yeah. It was the first time I did it. I've forgotten. Yes. Cat food wasn't last. Oh, yes, it was. There it is. Sorry. Okay, I need 5 children to help me. Come on. You're not getting to eat it, by the way. 1. Yep, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. This is... I'll put that there. Right. So, would you hold that and put that, hold that up high? Yeah? Would you hold that up high? Would you hold that up high? Will you hold that up high? Hey! Okay. Put them behind your back, basically, so I can see what you've got. What's here? Orange, you're right. What's here? Cat food. What's here? Ooh, you weren't quite so sure with that one. And here? Aero. Excellent. Thank you. Put more back in the bag. Come see me later. I'm not going to leave them anywhere near Martin. Very... Yeah, the there's things we can remember from just hearing. There's things we can remember from just seeing. There's things we can remember from just holding. What I'd like you to do for just a couple of minutes, either just sit there and think, or talk to the person near you and tell them of 3 things that Jesus did, one of his miracles or anything, stuff like that. Just talk to the person next to you, or just sit there and think of three things that Jesus did. Thirty-second warning. Okay. It's one of those occasions where I'm jealous of the people who are absolutely fantastic with the technology, so you could have all got your phone out and somehow voted on the screen about the things that you'd said. When I spent time thinking about that, I thought, Jesus born as a baby. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus came back to life. Jesus is coming again. Can anybody help me with the fifth one? It's not a trick question. I stopped at four. So between us, we would have actually spoken out to the person next to us all sorts of things from Jesus' life and ministry. And as we come into communion, it is to remember Jesus dying for us on the cross and giving thanks and remembering that he's coming back again. And he said, remember this until I come again. So he is coming back again, because he said he is coming back again. We're going to sing two songs just to lead us into communion. He is a great big God, and he's the one who saves us.
I didn't need time to get ready, sorry.
Clapping for the Lord there.
That's okay.
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sarcasm.
Every little helps.
Mm-hmm.
salvation belongs to our God, who saves us from the throes of the world. And unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and might, honor.
Do sit down. So to get it right, exactly what Jesus said, even though I've quoted this many times, Jesus speaking through Paul, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we come to the table this morning to share bread, to drink from the cup, to remember the sacrifice that was given for us, that we could have new life and the knowledge and truth that we will be with you forever. And we thank you this morning for all that it means, and in remembrance of you, we eat bread and we drink wine. Amen. If some people would like to come and help share out the bread, we'll eat bread as it comes to us, and then we'll hold on to to the cups until later, and similarly if someone is there in the overflow doing the same. So if you'd like to come and take a tray. Not a tray, that's a tray. Some music to help us while the wine is shared around. Thank you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we proclaim your death until you come again. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just going to lead us in some prayers. Could I ask the people in the overflow to start getting, get yourselves ready to leave, put all the chairs away if you would please, and make your way around while we pray. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that we're together as your people in this place, and yours is the power, the kingdom, the glory. Your reign is forever. We thank you for brothers and sisters sitting next to us, that we know your love. Father, there are so many of this fellowship to pray for who are in hospital, waiting for hospital, going back to hospital, and in just the silence of a few seconds, you just mention in silence to God those who are in your head and in your prayers. Lord, it seems such a leap from that to some of the fears and worries and terrors and crises that are worldwide. Father, similarly, we bring to you those that are in our head and in our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that here we are part of a group of churches. We call it Churches Together. And together we want to be able to make Jesus known. We thank you for St. Andrew's and Trinity and St. Peter's and our Pentecostal friends and the Quakers, a whole range of people who about now or already will have met to come to you. Through your Holy Spirit, covering everything, really speak into all of our churches, and particularly for our church leaders as they get together next week, what your truth and your will and your desire is for the place that we live. So, Father, we thank you that we know you, we can praise you, we can worship you, and we know that you will build your church in Jesus' name. Amen. So if Sunday Club and Youth would like to go off to your groups, please, and we'll just pause while you do that. Thank you. We're going to sing the song that you heard the musicians play, Jesus, I belong to you, Jesus, I believe in you, or whatever order those words come in. He don't mind. Let's stand and sing another song of worship, a song of commit to him, ready to hear his word.
Into your hand, I Jesus.
standing to pray again. Father, we've declared our belief. We're so glad that we belong. And we thank you for the way that you speak to us, that you show us your ways. And we just pray now that as we hear your word, it will be anointed by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
There is just one slight addendum to the notices again for Jan's funeral, just in case you haven't got the message. And if you are coming to either or both of the services, please do your very best to wear something pink, because that was her favourite colour, you may remember, in her hair. And Mel's asked if we can do that. So today we come to the first of those truly, truly sayings I was talking about last week. And of course, in the NIV version that we had up there, it doesn't say truly, truly, does it? It says very truly. It's pretty much the same thing, but I'm going to stick with the truly, truly. You'll get that in some of the other versions. Jesus's phrase, truly, truly. And if Jesus is the truth who sets us free, then everything Jesus says is worthy of our attention. But when he emphasizes it in this way, it's even more important that we take notice of what he's saying so we can have an understanding of who he is, of what he's saying, and how we fit in to his plans and his purposes. So we're going to have a look. And of course, the context is always important. If you remember the reading right at the start of the service, we have Philip, one of the first disciples, going up to his friend Nathanael and saying, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." In other words, we found the one promised and foretold in the scriptures, God's promised rescuer, the Messiah. Not only the one promised in the scriptures, but the one who fulfills the scriptures, the one Israel has been waiting for centuries. Can you picture Philip's excitement? Can you picture his desire for his friend to share in that excitement? We found the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. We found the Saviour of the world. And he's here as a human being, Jesus from Nazareth. Nathanael's response isn't exactly positive, is it? Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Guess that would be a bit like us saying, Bedford? Can anything good come from there? Or Sandy, or Stopfold, or Shefford, or pick your village and your town, it doesn't really matter. But again, in other words, Nathanael's saying, don't be daft. No one so important and so mighty would ever come from a little place like Nazareth. He'd have to come from somewhere big, somewhere famous, somewhere well known. But in spite of his skepticism, when Philip says to Nathanael, "Come and see," Nathanael follows him to meet Jesus. And Jesus' greeting blows him away, doesn't it? "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." He could see, he knew who Nathanael was. And Nathanael goes, "How do you know me?" He doesn't say, "Oh no, you've got the wrong Israelite." "No, I am a true and upstanding and honest Israelite. How did you know that? Because we've never met." And then it gets more mind-boggling. Because Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." How? How could you see him, Jesus, and he wasn't in your sight line? What exactly is going on here? And Jesus is revealing his divine knowledge, his divine vision, his supernatural ability to see right to the heart of a person What we would today call a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Jesus exercises that gift and says to Nathanael, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Now these days, the only person that we think who watches us like that is Father Christmas. to make sure whether we've been naughty or nice. But here Jesus is saying that he sees us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Which is both really exciting and encouraging and just a little bit worrying, depending on what we're doing. And of course, why was Nathanael under the fig tree in the first place? Well, if you've ever been to Israel, which I haven't, you'll know that there are times when it gets very, very hot. And back in the first century, people used to seek out shade under fig trees, where they could study the Bible, where they could cool down, where they could explore their faith. So Nathanael's probably having a little Bible study all by himself under the fig tree, which makes what Philip says earlier on even more interesting, because he says, we found the one Moses wrote about the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. They've obviously been looking at the Bible and looking at the scriptures, trying to work out what they might be saying. And for a normal person to say what Jesus said to Nathanael would have been impossible. I can't see what's going on in the hall right now. Probably a good thing, to be honest. But Jesus could see Nathanael under the fig tree. And this encounter and these words of Jesus, they transform Nathanael almost instantly. Here's someone who knows my character. Here's someone who knows where I was and who knows what I'm doing. There's got to be something special about this guy. And because of his studies, he's thinking, well, the only person who could possibly know those things about me is God. And so Nathanael declares, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Wow. From can anything good come out of Nazareth to you are the Son of God and the King of Israel. That's what you call a dynamic conversion. And this all leads to that big statement from Jesus, the truly, truly statement about who he is and what he's here for. And he says, truly, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. We might just kind of think, okay, that's quite an interesting description. That's great. For Nathanael, again, it's earth-shattering. For any Jew in the first century, for Jesus to say that is radical, revolutionary. It's why the Pharisees called him a blasphemer. It's why they tried to get rid of him. Because these words echo the words in Genesis 28 about the dream that Jacob had at a place called Bethel, not the big church in California. But Jacob was, I think this is when he was running away from Esau, and he had a dream one night about a ladder joining earth to heaven, and with the angels coming up and down the ladder, bringing messages from God from heaven to earth and going back up. In some versions, it even says that the ladder of the angels were descending onto Jacob and then going back up into heaven. And Jesus knows all this, obviously, and he knows that Nathanael knows this. So when he says this, he is making a massive statement. After his dream, Jacob calls the place Bethel, or Beth-el, which means house of God. And later on, it became one of the major shrines where the Israelites worshipped God. It became a holy place to the people of Israel. And Nathanael would have studied this passage. He may even have been studying that passage. This is me speculating. When Jesus saw him under the fig tree. But he would know this passage and he would have recognized it in Jesus's words. And he would also know from his own faith that when you worship God in his house, so to speak, God is really present in his house with you. So in a nutshell, Jesus is saying that God's house is no longer found in a place. God's house is found in a person, in him. Jesus is the place where heaven meets earth. Jesus is the place where we find God's presence. Jesus is the one who brings the fullness of God's love and God's presence and God's grace and God's forgiveness into our lives. When we encounter him, when we worship him, we should expect to sense these things and maybe even see angels. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? It does happen. To be with Jesus is to be with God. To know Jesus is to know God. And to see what it's like when heaven and earth are open to each other. You can see why this is such a massive revolutionary statement, because the Jewish faith was based around the temple in Jerusalem, which they called the house of God. And now Jesus is saying, don't worry about that place anymore. I'm the house of God. You enter into God's presence when you have a relationship with me. And then if that isn't enough, as part of this truly, truly statement, Jesus goes on and describes himself as the Son of Man. And again, that might not mean much to us in our 21st century lack of wisdom or whatever. But this description, again, is radical for the time, because here he draws on a figure described in Daniel chapter 7, when Daniel says he sees someone like a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven at the end of time to exercise judgment and receive the worship of the nations. So we've got two massive claims here from Jesus about who he is. And sometimes we need to stop and we need to remember that sort of thing. How big is your image in your mind, in your heart, in your soul of Jesus? This isn't gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is Jesus, the very presence of the holy, almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful God, the one who will one day, as we said in communion, return on the clouds in judgment and in power and in glory. Now, if they came from anybody else, we could accuse them of delusion or megalomania. But we've already established that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus always speaks the truth, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So what we know about Jesus means that we can understand why he's making these claims. And these claims alone call us to fall to our knees in worship and adoration of Jesus Christ. Bigger than any favourite sports team. Bigger than any political party. Bigger than any army. Bigger than any human leader. Our God is a great big God. You know, we sometimes just think some of those songs, they're just for the kids. And they've got tunes and words maybe that are more applicable for the kids, but there's truth in there. Our God is a great big God, and he does have the whole world in his hands, and his name is Jesus. And what Jesus is telling Nathaniel, he's telling us today as well, that when we are with him, we are in the very presence of God, and we can expect to see heaven touching earth. Now, Nathaniel needed more than to just hear about Jesus. He needed more than to know about Jesus as well. He needed to meet Jesus for all this to be revealed to him. His conversion comes through that personal experience, and that experience is then reinforced by Jesus explaining things to him, not just that day, but every day for the next 3 years. Knowing about Jesus is not enough for us either. We need to encounter him, to meet him, to feel his presence, to experience his love and his power and his authority and his grace and all the things that he is in our own lives. Remember this, he sees you before you see him. And we can be safe in his presence. And only by meeting Jesus, if you like, being like Nathaniel who responded to Philip's, come and see. Somewhere in your life, if you're a Christian, someone said something similar to you. Can I tell you about my friend Jesus? Come and see Jesus. Come and meet Jesus for yourself. So there's a challenge here to us. There's a challenge about how willing and open we are to properly meeting with Jesus, to properly experiencing his love in our own lives. How expectant are we when we come to church on a Sunday morning? What do we come expecting on a Sunday morning? Do we come expecting two or three songs and a bit of speaking, a few more songs, a bit more speaking, maybe a communion, then some more speaking? Do we come expecting our favourite hymn or chorus or song? Do we come expecting that God will speak to somebody that we know needs to hear him today, conveniently forgetting that we also need to hear him today? Do we come expecting to meet Jesus in his house? Do we come expecting to experience heaven touching earth when we gather? Or to become cynical and sceptical like Nathaniel, well, they're not going to sing songs I like today, Martin's going to speak for too long, and the tea and coffee's going to be too strong or too weak or too hot. And that person over there, who I know needs to repent of that sin, is not going to do anything about it either. Can we come expectant and excited like Philip? I remember seeing something on Facebook or YouTube about someone standing up at the start of a service and saying, how are you feeling? Because you're about to experience the most exciting and powerful thing you can ever do, and that is to step into the presence of God. Because our faith is not just head knowledge, it's experience, it's relationship, it's real. Do we have enough experience of Jesus ourselves to make us want to go and tell our friends, come and see? Come and see, we know the answer to life, the universe and everything, and it's not 42. It's not political power, it's not religious power, it's not loads of dosh. Or lots of relationships, or getting a whole long list of degrees after your name. The meaning of life, the universe and everything is Jesus Christ and knowing him. Come and see. He comes to our church. Does he? People today are searching for authentic and real spirituality. That's what this quiet revival thing's all about. What do they see when they come here? These can be quite deep and disturbing questions, but what do they see when they come here? What do we see? What do we feel? What do we sense? Do we sense heaven touching earth as we gather together in the name of Jesus, who promises to be here with us? What might it look like to see heaven touching earth during our worship experience? There's always a danger that we'll go too far one way. Let me explain what I mean. The Pharisees loved God. There's no doubt about that. They loved God, and they tried to show that love through knowledge of the scripture and following laws. But by doing that, they missed out on the actual experience of God's love. That's what happens when you're being religious, by the way. You go through the forms of something, but you don't actually experience the reality of it. Then at the other extreme, we've got some believers today, some churches today. They love God, and they try to show that love through experience. And so their services will be very lively. There'll be hands in the air. There'll be people talking and singing in tongues. There'll be healings. There'll be all sorts of things going on, which are all very biblical and all very good, but there'll be a lack of biblical understanding and teaching and knowledge going on in their gatherings. Nathanael understood what Jesus was saying because he'd got some kind of a balance. His experience of Jesus was backed up with the knowledge of the scriptures, and we need a balance too. We need a balance between the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives and in our church, so that we can grow in our understanding and relationship with Jesus. It's a little phrase I've used before, but if we are too focused on the words and knowledge, we dry up. If we're too focused on the Spirit and experience, we blow up. If we have a balance of Word and Spirit, we grow up. Which of those three do you think Jesus wants us to do? Answers on a postcard, please. Religion creates distance. Experience on its own creates chaos. And Paul has lots to say about that to the churches in the New Testament. Encounter and relationship with Jesus invites us to closeness. So as we hear this first truly, truly of Jesus this morning, what is he saying to us as individuals? What is he saying to us as a church? I think he's saying that in him, we can experience the love and power of heaven in our midst and in our lives. But only if we're open to that. Only if we're open to the moving of his Spirit, his love and his grace in our lives and in our congregation. Authentic and real spirituality means both knowledge of who Jesus is and experience of who Jesus is combined together based on our understanding of the scripture and based on personal experience and testimony, knowing that in Jesus we see the house of God, we see the presence of heaven on earth, and we should be awestruck and filled with worship over that. And in Jesus we see the one who one day is going to return and who is going to judge the heavens and the earth and everybody in them, and we should be awestruck and bow in worship as well. But as we go on through the year, we'll also see the Jesus who is closer than a brother, who is the best friend we could ever have, who is our co-heir in God's glory. Maybe today God's saying, just expand your understanding of who Jesus is. Expect more when you come to church. Jesus said he couldn't perform miracles in his hometown because people didn't believe he could do it. There was lack of faith, there was lack of understanding. Where do we stand on that? Where is our faith? Where is our understanding? Are we sure of who Jesus is? And do we see this bigger picture of this glorious God who has come from heaven to earth to show us the way, as the song says? Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. Can that be more than just a song? Can it be our testimony? Can it be our experience? Might get exciting. Might get a bit bumpy. Might be a little bit weird at times. But if he is the truth and we walk in the truth and we stay in the truth, we know that we're on his path and doing what he wants us to do. And ultimately, isn't that our prayer? To see his glory here. The glory of the one and only Son, as John puts it, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's pray. Lord, these words excite us. These words also concern us because we are human. And there's part of us that longs to see these things that we've talked about this morning. There's another part that's scared because we're not quite sure what that might mean. But we know that you are the truth, and we know that you speak the truth. And this truly, truly is something we need to listen to. We need to allow to sink deep into our souls and into the fabric of our church, that we might know you as the very presence of God on earth, that we might experience you as Nathaniel did, and that we might grow in knowing you through a relationship with you, so that when we do come together on a Sunday or even in the middle of the week in our small groups or wherever we gather together, that we would see your glory here and, like Nathaniel, be transformed more and more into your likeness, so that others may see the reality and know the truth and so be saved. Lord, break down our barriers, we pray. Take away our fears, our desire to be in control even, and help us look to you, to give our all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So continuing in that sort of general same theme, we're not just going to sing a song. This is an opportunity to respond. Philip, if you could put the first verse up, please. And good, just to look at it before we start to sing. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. How incredible to be able to move on with our God. So let's stand, let's use this to respond to what we've heard and to commit ourselves again to our Lord.
Jesus, take
Don't forget tea and coffee, but in particular, don't forget this space over here for prayer and sharing. If you need someone to minister with you and to you, take advantage of that. And also, again, a look at the small groups. From Revelation, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.